Welcome to Straight Talk on Health. I'm your host, Dr. Chet Zelasko. Straight Talk on Health is a joint production with WGVU in Grand Rapids, Michigan. I examine the world of health, whether it's research that makes the news, another miracle diet, or a new food fad. I look at the science behind them and let you know whether it's real or not. You can check out other things that I do on my website, drchet.com, and please sign up for my free emails. Exercise is my most favorite thing to talk about. Not surprising, as an exercise physiologist. There is no question that diet is important to our health. But if I had to focus on just one habit that people should adopt, it would definitely be exercise first before anything else. Understand that I believe we should all eat more vegetables and fruit, take complementary supplements if there are gaps in our diet, and that we should all try to attain a normal body weight. But aside from quitting smoking, the most important thing that a human being can do is to be physically active. I really, really believe that. Now, when I say exercise first, I mean all the components of exercise. Aerobic activity that stresses the cardiovascular system and every other system in the body is critical to health. But it isn't just about getting in your steps or your bike ride. Maintaining and increasing muscle mass is also critical, especially as we age. And we also need to keep our muscles, tendons, and ligaments stretched on a regular basis to stay limber and loose. But for the most part, people are most concerned about being in better physical condition, protecting their hearts, and burning calories to stimulate weight loss. Before I get into the study, let me be clear. Exercise is a lousy way to burn calories for weight loss. You have to invest so much time for what seems to be so little return. Now, if you were a professional athlete or a performer of some sort, you would invest hours a day in physical training. That's what you're getting paid to do. In that we can get no more than 10 to 20% of all Americans exercising at a level that will gain them benefits, we want to try to be as efficient as possible for them to attain this goal because exercise benefits health. Let's take a look at the study. The title is Physical Activity Volume, Intensity, and Incident Cardiovascular Disease. It was published in the European Heart Journal in October of 2022. The subjects in the study were a subgroup of people that were in the United Kingdom Biobank study. The data were collected from 88,412 middle-aged adults, with 58% of them being women. Another key factor is that they did not have any diagnosis of cardiovascular disease before the study began. Researchers started with a couple basic questions. First, what was the association between device-based physical activity volume and intensity with cardiovascular disease? We'll talk about what device-based means in a moment. Second question, does physical activity energy expenditure, in other words, intensity, from moderate to vigorous activity, confer any additional benefits to the development of cardiovascular disease risk? In effect, what that means is they wanted to know if adding vigorous activity to moderate activity would confer additional benefits in reducing the risk of cardiovascular disease events. Well, what was the device-based physical activity? They gave the participants accelerometers, which they wore on their wrists for 7 days. So the first issue that would arise is this. Is what the subjects do in 7 days reflective of what they would normally do? One of the things that's a standard of research is that once you interfere with a person, whether you give them a pill, whether you do a surgery, or whether you give them an accelerometer to wear, it can change their behavior. That's why placebos are so important in any type of research. But if a person did not wear an accelerometer at all, you would have no way of collecting any actual activity levels on them, and that wouldn't be practical for this type of study. The researchers broke the data into tertiles, or in other words, into thirds, by activity level. The mean age of the subjects in the study was 62 years, with an average body mass index of 27 kilograms per meter squared, which means they were normal weight on average. they tracked the subjects for 6.8 years. In that amount of time, there were just over 4,000 cardiovascular disease events. Those were things like ischemic heart disease, stroke, or other cardiovascular disease events. Their findings were pretty interesting related to the question of volume versus intensity. The rate of cardiovascular disease events was 14% lower when moderate volume physical activity accounted for 20% rather than 10% per day of the physical activity energy expenditure. Now that may seem a little confusing, so let's start at the beginning. Movement that's slow and steady up to moderate and steady is going to reduce the risk of cardiovascular disease events. They also found that the rate of cardiovascular disease events decreased with higher physical activity energy production, in other words, more intense exercise. The higher the intensity, the lower the rate of cardiovascular disease events. So going back to that 14% decrease I mentioned earlier, if you were to exercise at a higher intensity, you would only have to exercise half the time you would than if you were doing moderate volume exercise. So instead of a 20-minute walk, a 10-minute jog could be better. What if the subjects combined exercising at a lower intensity, but for a longer period of time some days, with higher intensity exercise for shorter times on other days? Would that give them additional benefits? As you might expect, the answer to that question is absolutely. Now, does this mean that everyone should be doing high-intensity interval training? Not in the classic sense. What I mean by that is you don't have to do a special workout where you're going to bust a gut for 90 seconds and then take it easy for 5 minutes. That is intense, and it overall takes less time. But these were not people who were using any type of machinery to exercise for the most part. Why? The accelerometers track motion in three directions, so a stationary bike or even an elliptical trainer would not yield adequate information. But everything from gardening to walking the dog to spontaneously breaking into a run to catch a bus, those would show up as mild, moderate to high intensity exercise. It also doesn't mean that all exercise that you do has to be high intensity. Simply foregoing for a walk is going to provide you with benefits to reduce your risk of cardiovascular disease, and while not assessed, type 2 diabetes, hypertension, and cancer as well. But investing some time in higher intensity exercise may provide you with some additional benefits. That's why my latest recommendations are that people use short bursts throughout the day to stress the heart and the blood vessels if they are physically able. And let's be reasonable here. You have to be fit enough and ambulatory enough to actually do high-intensity exercise. Do you want to know something? I know of at least one physical therapist who encourages subjects to do jumping jacks while sitting in a wheelchair. Of course, they can't do the leg part of it, but for 60 seconds, their arms are going up and down and up and down and up and down at a very high rate, and that is high intensity for them. For others of you, it may be doing a 2-minute run up a very steep hill. It is the intensity of the exercise that stresses the heart in ways that a nice, easy walk does not. And for that, you get additional benefits. So check with your doctor to find out the limitation that he's putting on you as it relates to exercise intensity, and then go and get after it. Not to lose a bunch of weight, not to win the next 5K, and not every day, but to make your heart stronger and fitter. Because remember, health is a choice. Choose wisely today and every day. I'm Dr. Chet Zelasko.
Straight Talk on Health with Dr. Chet Zelasko is recorded in the studios of WGVU in Grand Rapids, Michigan. The views and opinions expressed are not necessarily those of WGVU or its underwriters. Episodes are at WGVUnews.org and wherever you get your podcasts.